Welcome back to the Beginning to Flourish pod. From Sanctuary First, I'm James Cathcart. I'm joined by Albert Bogle. This is our wide-ranging, free-range chat where we talk about theology and life as it's lived today. Our theme over Lent that we've been looking at in our community at Sanctuary First is beginning to flourish. That was the impetus for doing this series. And one of the things that we're thinking about that we need in order to flourish, in order to begin to flourish, is a sense of belonging. But we want to think in this episode about how belonging and restlessness are related. Is restlessness the opposite of belonging? Is it part of belonging? So we're going to be thinking about that, about the idea of can you feel restless and belong at the same time? And two groups that we want to think about, two groups of people who are close to our heart at Sanctuary First, is people who are restless outside of church. So people who have no connection to church, they don't go regularly, or at all, maybe don't have much frame of reference for God, but there's a restlessness in them. They're interested, they're seeking, they want to know more about life, perhaps about faith, about God, about Jesus. They don't have another way that they're getting in to this, and this is something, you know, this might be you. You might be someone who's interested, but you're kind of restless. There's more. You want to know more. And then we want to talk to those people and about those people who are restless inside church. Okay, those people who are there, but they're a bit uneasy. They're a bit restless. They're not sure how they fit, how they connect. We're going through interesting times as a world, as a church here in Scotland and across the world. There's a lot of restlessness about, isn't there, Albert? There's a sense of kind of wanting to know more, to dig in more. And so you think that these two groups are very different, those people that are not part of kind of church, and those people who are very in church, but actually there's a restlessness that unites those groups. So what do you think, Albert, when you think about those groups of people, what might they have in common that's surprising?
Yeah, I think we're in the age of the disruptors.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the disruptors in politics, the disruptors in church life, and the disruptors across the whole of life. You know, you might say in all the institutions of life, and there's a restlessness in people who have been committed and supporters of certain institutions, regardless where they are. Whether you're a football fan or whether you're in the arts or whatever it is, there is a sense in which there is something is changing. Something's changing. I mean, I'm reminded of the Bob Dylan song. I listened to the Bob Dylan film, actually, just recently.
Oh, right, cool. Yeah,
you know, come gather around people wherever you roam. Admit that the waters around you are blowing, and admit fairly soon you'll be drenched to the bone, for the chimes, they are a-changing. You know, and if you can't be part of the change, don't block up the hallway. You know, get out of the road. You know, I think there is something movement, and there is something about sometimes the Spirit of God as a disruptor comes to disrupt us, to make us unhappy, to make a discontent, and a holy discontent.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes in the church that's what's happening. There's a holy discontent. And even those who are supposedly at the very center of the religious organizations, I think they're losing their religion, but they're searching for faith.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm. And can we do things a different way? And the danger is there'll be those who want to hold on to the religion, to hold it together, and the old structures are going. You know, and we need to find structures that meet the changes, you know, rather than trying to fit the changes around the structures.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. You know,
and I think, so when we talk about these two groups of people, yes, I think if that's a general way, I would just say across the whole of society at the moment in the 21st century, the last 25 years, there's been a big change.
Mm. Mm.
And so what's God doing? And that's, I think that's the question I'm asking myself. Where is God in all of this?
Yeah.
How should my mind be getting ready to preach and teach the gospel in that context of disruption.
Yes. Yes.
I think this is the interesting thing. I think Sanctuary First is coming into its own as a sanctuary in the midst of all that disruption. Because we don't have a building. We're now no longer even connected with the Church of Scotland, although our roots are there, but financially we've become interdependent. And so we've had to, and that's all to do with the changes. Doesn't mean to say we don't love the Church of Scotland any less or more, but that's how the change has happened. And so we find ourselves in a situation where we're reaching out to the people who are in the church and the people who are outside the church. And the people who don't even know that God's at work in their lives. And so that's what do you think, James? Don't you see, sanctuary is what we're about.
Yeah. And that's always been, you know, at the core of what Sanctuary First is. I mean, literally, it's in the name that's on the tin, Sanctuary First. So, you know, we've been talking about, you know, in this podcast series about breathing, shelter, belonging, you know, these essential things that we need in order to flourish, if we're going to flourish. And of course, the bittersweet story over Lent that we read about how, you know, Christ was part of a community. He breathed human breath, human air. He was one of us. He drank. He had these human needs. And then one by one, these things are taken away from him. And then we see that in the cross where he enters a second wilderness that week. And then, you know, he loses all of these things, finally his breath. And then he returns and these things are gradually brought back to him. And so as we're thinking about these sort of core needs that we have, that word sanctuary is incredibly important. You know, and when you think about what that word sanctuary means in a religious sense, but also in a kind of social sense or a political sense, or, you know, the idea of refuge, the idea that you can find sanctuary, you can find a place where you're safe, where you're okay, where it's okay to be who you are. And the idea that that's the first thing. So we're not saying that, like, come to Sanctuary First if you have agreed to these 10 tenets. Come to Sanctuary First if you are X, Y, or Z. No, we're saying, come and take shelter with us, and then we'll see where God's taking us next, right? Because it's the sanctuary that comes first. It's being in God's presence with one another and the presence of one another. It's that sanctuary before all else. And so when we're thinking about, you know, belonging and restlessness and stuff like that, I think the idea of sanctuary not as a physical space, you know, as we think about the buildings, like you say, and the fact that we aren't tied to a building, but sanctuary as this cultural, social space that we can be in together. And so, Albert, when I, you know, at the beginning, I was saying about, can, you know, is belonging and restlessness opposed? Are they antithetical? Can one belong and be restless? Because I was thinking there's probably a few options there, right? One is that it's not, you know, that being restless is part of belonging. Like, everybody gets restless sometimes. Don't sweat it, right? Or you could say, yep, they're completely opposed. So, you know, restlessness and unease are counter to belonging. And so the things that we need to, you know, how can we get people more comfortable? You know, like, why are, you know, do we either accept that people get restless sometimes, or do we say, no, people shouldn't be restless? Or, third answer, and Christ is often in the business of the third way, right? What if these things are opposite and that's okay? What if part of your experience of faith, part of your experience of life of coming to God is moving towards and moving away and moving sideways and back to forth? Maybe, you know, when you think about any relationship, any long relationship you have in your life with your siblings or people you knew growing up or whatever, our relationships over time are complicated. And there are times of closeness and times of being further away. There's restlessness. Think about your job, you know, over time. That's not been probably one thing in one place. You know, it may have been for a long time in one place, but there's probably a degree of change of development as technology changes. There's restlessness in life, and we believe in a faith of death and life ending and renewal. And maybe a restlessness, that holy discontent, does run against belonging, and maybe that's a good thing. Maybe there are times where belonging is actually getting in the way now of our sense of faith, our our relationship with God, maybe I should say, and that actually a little bit more restlessness and accepting that we're restless is what we need to do.
Yeah, there's that famous hymn, through all the changing scenes of life, in troubled land and joy. And it goes on to talk about, if I can learn to praise God in the midst of it all, I will be centered. And so at the heart of everything we want to talk about in Sanctuary First, we want people to worship God and serve him. So in the midst of all the chaos and all the disruption, don't lose sight of the restlessness that's taking you to the place to worship God. You know, to create a restlessness for worship, the whole story of the children of Israel leaving Egypt is the story of Moses coming and then to speak to a restless people, people who are under pressure, people who don't know, but they're oppressed. But they discover freedom because someone comes and speaks to them and tells them there's someone who loves them. There's a God who says, you are my people. But you could have said that to others as well, but they were downtrodden, they were slaves. Just like I say to my grandchildren, my granddaughter, you're my girl. Doesn't mean to say that my other granddaughters aren't my girl as well. When I see them, I tell them the same thing.
Totally. Love's big enough, isn't it?
Love's yeah. big enough to go around.
Yeah.
We don't categorize love. Yeah. We don't say, I've just got enough love for my family, and then when I've got enough love for my family, I'll think about having a little bit of love for someone else and other people. No. Love is much more universal than that, and much more able to reach out beyond all that. But the point is that knowing that God loves us is at the heart of worship.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, what we're trying to do in Sanctuary First is, despite where you are, despite what you're going through, if you're struggling in your local church, we feel as though, at least in Sanctuary First, we want to be able to offer a place where you can encounter your daily Bible reading and your prayer. And that's not going against your local church. But the chances are your local church doesn't give you daily Bible readings and daily prayers, but you can get them on Sanctuary First. And it may be that then you meet other people from other denominations, and you start realizing that the church is bigger than just your denomination. And, you know, and so there's a sense in which Sanctuary First is open to those who are a bit restless in their church and their congregation and feeling so they're not, it's not where they're at the moment, but they don't want to leave their church. And it's also for those who feel they can't connect anymore with the way church, you might say mainline churches, are organized, but they're still searching after God.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not throwing stones at the mainline churches, but we're just simply saying we're here as a place, a sanctuary, where people can come in. And we want to be true to the Word of God as we see it and allow people to encounter God. And because we believe you can encounter God today.
Amen. And I think that idea of creating the sanctuary, creating the tent where people can come from different places, you know, with different expectations, with different backgrounds, creates, I think, a picture of what church is meant to be, you know, a diverse group of souls, not necessarily a group that are like geographically, demographically kind of similar in the same kind of place. You know, I don't think that's necessarily the intention of what church is, what church can be. You know, that happens, and that's okay, absolutely. But...
James, I think we need to be more radical in Sanctuary First. We need to find ways to get more voices on, mm-hmm. more voices on the podcast here, but more voices on from different communities and different countries. We need to come much more international. We need to see different faces on the site so that people feel as though, yes, we're really practicing what we're preaching here.
Mm-hmm. Totally. Totally. You know, and it's, you know, it's one of these things, think about again that, so we've, you know, in this episode particularly thinking about the idea of belonging and restlessness, you know, and I think there may be times in which, like, you know, you read all the time that as a society that, you know, we're not joiners in the way that we used to be, you know, and there's a sort of nomadic kind of spirit, the idea that, yeah, I've been a lifelong supporter of X, or I used to be part of this, or I used to do that, and I'm leaving that now. I'm cutting that. I'm moving on. You know, like, people aren't, you know, in the 1950s when, you know, the church in Scotland had the highest attendance that it had, sort of historic peak of attendance, we lived at a time when people loved joining stuff. And people, you know, it was post-war in this country, post-World War II, and people were joining community groups and organizations and local teams and going to services, and you were, you know, there were the new nuclear families, you know, so people were separated and no longer living in these kind of more overlapping kind of social spaces where you had, like, the close, where you had all sorts of everybody's kids, where everybody's kids and everybody looked after each other. Suddenly people were moved into little houses and kind of atomized out, spread out, and there was this sense of, okay, we still need these things to hold us together, and so people joined things. But there's been a sense of a kind of freedom, a kind of liberation, hasn't there, in the past, you know, several decades, of people being like, I'm not just going to do that because my dad went. I'm not just going to go to that thing because my mum always did it. You know, like, I'm gonna be my own person. Nothing wrong with that, right? And over time, and again, like you say, the disruptors now, there's perhaps particularly now this sense of, like, don't just, you know, go along with what you've always heard. We're going to do things differently. We're tearing up the rule book. Things are different, right? But we've got a local church model, which is, like, I think often so keen on holding on to people and with a heart that really wants to hold on to people and hold on to that sense of belonging. And so how can we work together to find a way of keeping that belonging going in a way Absolutely. That makes sense now? Because that used to make sense in 1955, the way that we did church made sense. And it wasn't perfect, and there's lots of bad things, you know, lots of good and bad in that. But I'm just saying it was in keeping with trends of wider society. It no longer is, and that doesn't mean that we should just always change to fit wider society, but are we trying to catch something that's not the important thing, you know? And is the restlessness of wider society reinvigorating the church? You know, the narrative's always about decline, isn't it, Albert? For us inside the church, numbers are going down and it's all going down, we're having to consolidate, we're shutting down places. But what if the church kind of needs this? What if what's happening right now is growth? What if what's happening right now in the church in Scotland and in parts of, you know, the wider world, they're in the same kind of boat? Maybe this is the reinvigorating. Maybe the creativity, the restlessness in wider society is what's going to transform the church and make it relevant for today, for what Jesus needs it to be today.
That's a great picture, James. Really great picture to think about that, and to see God's hand at work in that. But I think that's the message that we need to say to people, but we need to be saying perhaps be prepared for the radical emergence of something radical to emerge that will come out of that. If our hearts, if in the changes that's happening in the church, we don't lose sight of the place of worship. And I think you're right there about the longing for community. That's the one thing the local church is that we do need to gather together in community at some way.
Whatever
that looks like. But the community is so important. And that's why we talk a lot about community in Sanctuary First, the Sanctuary First community. And that's one of the reasons why we're trying to encourage people to get into small groups and to think about setting up some of these connect groups that we're talking about. The material that we've produced is to help you engage in this wider conversation that we are having. So if you're listening to this podcast, go and have a look at our material on Sanctuary First, www.sanctuaryfirst.org.uk, and go to the section at the top where it says resources, click on resources, and go and have a look at beginning to flourish.
Aye, you'll find that you can either look through themes as the way the site's currently structured, or Connect, where it's specifically aimed at the Connect group. So it's got particular material for you there. But the theme also gives you the wider kind of stuff around that theme. But yeah, dig in, start doing it, start participating in it.
And I mean, there's an element in our idea that we would like to know that you're doing it. But you know what? If you don't want to get in touch with us, but you just want to do it, then we're not going to be naffed off at that.
No, on you go. Yeah.
But it's just the community we're trying to get. So if we hear from you, we feel as though there's a community out there that's it's feeling the same as we're feeling.
Yes, and that's the thing, isn't it? You know, networks of community. And we want the material to be free. We want it to be freely accessible and for you to have autonomy. You know, so if you're creating a group and you want to change up the material, you know, maybe you're like over the pandemic, you know, it might have been a family that were keeping in touch using the Connect material or whatever and doing it in a different way. That's totally fine. But if you do connect with us, if you do let us know what's going on, then it's the start of something. Was that, you know, in, yeah. Is it Casablanca, like the start of a beautiful friendship? You know, like this can happen, you know. More can come, you know, when we make these connections. And I just want to say as well, like, because I'm aware that, you know, there we could be doing a bit of bashing of church, right? A bashing of established local church. Like, I am all for local church. I participate in local church. And I think that, I've got heart for that. And I want to see that flourish. And I want to see that doing well. And I think there are things, part of what we're going to do by innovating and making church more relevant is doubling down on the stuff we do that's wacky and different, right? So I don't think church needs to change, you know, local church or Sanctuary First or whatever needs to change and become like as bland as possible so that people can tune into it. No, the stuff that we do, you know, it's like, Albert, we've talked about this with like cathedral worship, like, you know, one of the forms of church, you know, that's doing okay and in some ways growing in different contexts and stuff is the most traditional, you know, smells and bells or whatever, you know, high up the candle, however you'd call it, like kind of stuff. Like, part of us being authentic to ourselves will be saying, okay, what we can offer you now is something you're not getting anywhere else in society. But it might actually be something that you also want, as opposed to offering you something that you're not getting anywhere else and actually you don't want anyway, you know? There are things that are people drawn to in our language, in our music, in our culture, in our art, our distinct traditions, which we're going to hold on to and we're going to double down on to. So there's no way to suggest that we're trying to suggest that church should, you know, just become one thing or just some bland pop culture product. Like, no, but it also needs to be dynamic and listening to that wider culture and the restlessness in it.
Yeah, so I think what we're saying is, in summing up some of this discussion to date, is that the restlessness that's within a local community church can be healthy.
Yeah.
But it needs to be expressed.
Yes.
And recognised and not hidden away, but speak out. What is it that God's saying to you? You know, where is it you're restless, and are you part of the answer to the restlessness, or are you just part of the expression of the restlessness? But God, then you've got to pray that God will bring, say for instance, you're frustrated about the worship, and when I mean the worship in the church, maybe this the standard of music and the kind of songs that you're singing in church, you're frustrated at that. But you don't play a musical instrument, then you're not part of the answer to that. But you can talk about your frustration about that. But then you need to start saying, so where are the musicians that could help us? Do you need to advertise and say, are there some musicians in the community that would come and lead worship in a more contemporary manner? And you say, well, but then they're maybe not Christians. Well, they might find that they're not far away, and coming into the community of God's people, they discover faith.
Yeah, start those conversations. I mean, that's, you know, the thing. Start it going.
If we're prepared to lose our religion in order that others might find faith, that's quite a powerful thing. And I used to say to folks at St. Andrew's Bowness when I was minister there, this is a colony of heaven.
Aye.
And when people come over the door, they should get smit. Almost like, you know that word, smit? They should get, it's contagious as Christianity.
Smit.
The joy of Christ should be such that they go, what is this? I
yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
And so if they're a musician, make a space for them.
Yeah.
You know, if you're looking to create different things in the life of the church, look out into the community and see who's there. Go to the high school and see if some of the young people will help you with the tech desk. If you're wanting to live stream service, but please don't live stream services if it's boring because nobody's going to watch it apart from your own membership. That's fine if you're going to live stream for your own membership. But if we're wanting to reach out,
yeah,
we need to think about how we do it in a different way.
Yeah, totally, totally. And I think, you know, doing it in love, you know, like, because I think you're absolutely right, you know, this idea of expressing your restlessness and voicing it and putting it out there. But also, like, it's really easy to be a crank, isn't it? You know what I mean? It's really easy to moan and actually all your moaning is doing is just kind of keeping the status quo going. You know what I mean? Like, if you're just grumbling and moaning, if you're saying, oh, people are saying that they're not too happy about it, if you're saying, well, what are you doing? Check yourself before you wreck yourself. Do you know, like, what is the point about that? Be true to who you are. Don't worry about what other people have been saying, right? What do you feel, right? And there's something. So my mum was an actress and I used to grow up, you know, doing lots of drama games and, you know, acting stuff, right? And when you're doing improv, they often talk about yes and, right? And this idea of blocking. And so the idea when you're improvising a scene, you've got a couple actors working together, the idea of, like, if somebody puts forward an idea, how can you respond to that idea and take it somewhere else, right? Because if you're watching two characters on stage and somebody goes, oh no, I'm late for work, can you help me? And the other person goes, work's not on today. Oh, okay. Oh, I'm really hungry. Oh no, we ate yesterday. Don't worry about it. You know, if they just keep blocking and shutting down every single thing that you do, there is no story. Nothing will ever happen, right? And that doesn't mean you can't have conflict and you can't have interesting ways of exploring that dramatically, but try and have a bit of a yes and attitude. Like, if somebody's saying, like, oh, I hate the organ or something like that, think, okay, well, I don't have to immediately throw myself across the organ and say, no, for my dead body. Like, think about what that means. And what you could do from that point, and try and think like this: yes, and what can we add? What can we expand? How can we grow bigger? How can we flourish?
Absolutely, yeah.
We got there.
you don't like the organ. What about a wee myth organ? Would that suit you?
I would love. I'm on the record right now.
We could bring in a wee myth organ and a wee bit of blues in the church.
Exactly. I want to be on the record now that I think that every organ in the church should be sent a mouth organ to go with it. Okay, you can have both, all right? We're not saying if you've got an organ, you've got to take it out, but if you have an organ...
And do you know something? This is the great thing about the mouth. It's a spiritual organ because it's breath.
Exactly.
The breath of God back, bringing the breath of God back into worship. I think we should start the mouth campaign.
The mouth campaign, that's it. Get your the harmonicas.
The mouth organs... And you can get a group of people playing the mythies. You can get the bass mythies.
Given all
you
that.
Get, you know.
Harmony through the harmonica. That's it. So if you've got an organ, you've got to sign up and get a get a mouth organ. And if you don't have either, well, you know, just get on board. Find your way of doing it. But yeah, more harmonica in church. Absolutely. Well, I think we'd better wrap that one there. But thank you so much for listening. Go get your harmonica now in time for the next episode. But thanks for listening to Beginning to Flourish.